Welcome to the October 30th, 1941 broadcast of WYTR's Radio Theater. It's time to introduce you to the fine acting troupe who will be performing today's Tales of Terror. You may remember him from Bedtime for Benny and Cowboy Cavalcade, Mr. Ron Prater.
Next, direct from her star turn in the Broadway musical, Oh Nebraska, it's the lovely Miss Clara Arnette.
WYTR listeners will remember our next starlet from roles ranging from Little Miss Mary Sunshine to The Wicked Witch. I give you Lucille Johnson.
Soon to star in Warner Brothers' upcoming thriller, Zombie Cheerleaders from Outer Space, it's Nicole King.
Next, please welcome my friend, an actress making her radio debut today, fresh off the bus from Smallville, USA, Miss Margie Gwendolyn.
And finally, the host of WYTR's Summit City Sounds, your hostess, Audrey Richards.
Thank you all for coming today, and enjoy the broadcast. It's October 30th, 1941, and this is WYTR Radio Theater.
Greetings, everyone, boys and girls, young and old, old and new. Greetings from the WYTR remote studios right here in beautiful Fort Wayne, Indiana. Ladies and gentlemen, we at WYTR know that a story doesn't have to appeal to the heart. It can also appeal to the spine. Sometimes you want your heart to warm, others you want your spine to tingle. Well, the tingling will be quite audible as you listen to tonight's classic radio thrillers. And now, join us, if you dare, for our first Halloween tale, The Hitchhiker.
I'm in a diner on Route 66, just outside Deming, New Mexico. If I say it out loud, maybe it'll help. Keep me from going crazy, you know? But I have to say it quickly. My name is Alexander Cook. I'm 26 years old, single from Brooklyn, New York. All this I'm certain of, but nothing else. I must speak quickly. This may be the last thing I ever say on this earth. 6 days ago, I left Brooklyn to drive to California for a new job.
Goodbye, Alex. Good luck to you, my dear.
Goodbye, Mother. Here, give me a hug before I go.
I'll walk you to the car.
No, it's raining. Stay here at the door. Hey, what's this, tears?
Oh, it's just this trip, Alex. I wish you weren't driving alone.
Oh, Mother, people do it every day.
You will be careful, won't you? Promise me don't fall asleep or speed or pick up any strangers along the road.
Strangers? Don't worry. It's just 8 days of smooth sailing on decent civilized roads with a hamburger stand every 20 miles. I was excited as I left. The new job, the drive ahead, even the loneliness seemed like an adventure. But I didn't count on him. Crossing the Brooklyn Bridge in the rain, I saw a man leaning against the railing. He seemed to be waiting for a ride. There were spots of fresh rain on his shoulders. He was carrying a cheap overnight bag in one hand. He was thin, nondescript, with a cap pulled down over his eyes. Suddenly he stepped off the sidewalk and... If I hadn't swerved, I'd have hit him. I almost did. I would have forgotten him completely, except that an hour later, while crossing through Jersey, I noticed him again. At least it looked like him. He was standing now with one thumb pointing west. I couldn't figure out how he'd gotten there, but I figured maybe a fast truck had picked him up, sped ahead of me, and let him out. I didn't stop for him. Then late that night, I saw him again. It was on the new Pennsylvania Turnpike. It's 265 miles long with a very high speed limit. I was just slowing down for one of those tunnels when I saw him. The bag, the cap, even the spots of fresh rain on his shoulders. This time he hailed me.
Hello. Hello.
I stepped on the gas like a shot. The coincidence, or whatever it was, gave me the chills. I didn't slow down, let alone stop until the next gas station.
Yes, miss?
Fill her up, please.
Sure thing. Nice night, eh?
Yes, it hasn't been raining here tonight, has it?
Not a speck all week.
Oh, I suppose that's good for the hitchhikers.
Hitchhikers? Out here?
Oh, don't you ever see any?
No, this is a pretty lonely country. You ain't seen nobody like that, have you?
No, I just meant hypothetically.
Oh, I see. Well, that'll be $1.75.
Eventually, I decided the whole thing must be a coincidence. Or maybe I was just tired. I got a good night's sleep in Pittsburgh, and didn't think about the man again until I was just outside Evansville, Indiana. There he was again. It was a bright, sunny afternoon. I was driving slowly, soaking it in, when the road suddenly detoured. And right in front of the sign, there was... Let me explain about his appearance before I say more. I repeat, there was nothing sinister about him. He just stood there, waiting. He started to walk forward.
Hello? Hello?
I'd stopped the car at the detour sign for a few seconds. I couldn't seem to find the new road. I realized that he must think I'd stopped for him.
Hello?
No, not now. I'm sorry.
Headed to California?
No, not today. Sorry. Back on the road again, I felt like a fool. But the thought of picking him up, of having him sit beside me, was somehow dreadful. At the same time, I felt so alone. The tens went by one by one. The light in the sky changed, and I caught myself searching the side of the road for him. I didn't see him again until late the next afternoon. I'd stopped the car at a sleepy little junction just across the Oklahoma border to let a train pass when he appeared across the tracks. He was leaning against a telephone pole. It was a perfectly dry day, yet there were spots of fresh rain on his shoulders. I couldn't stand that. Without thinking, blindly, I started the car across the tracks. I stepped on the gas hard, veering the wheel sharply toward him. I could hear the train in the distance now, but I didn't care. And something went wrong. The car stalled right on the tracks. The train was coming closer. I could hear its bell, its cry, its whistle crying. Still, he stood there. Now I knew that he was beckoning me in my death. Well, I frustrated him that time. It started. It worked at last. I managed to back up, but once the train had passed, he was gone. And I was all alone in the hot, dry afternoon. After that, I knew I had to do something. I didn't know who this man was or what he wanted from me. I only knew that from now on, I mustn't let myself be alone on the road for one more minute. Hello there? Hello? Like a ride?
What do you think? How far are you going?
Amarillo. I'll take you to Amarillo.
Amarillo, Texas?
Yeah, I'll drive you there.
Gee.
Hop in.
Mind if I take off my shoes? My feet are killing me.
No, go right ahead.
Oh, gee, what a break this is. Friendly girl in a comfy car driving all the way to Amarillo. All I've been getting so far is creepy truck drivers.
Hitchhike much?
Sure, only it's tough sometimes in these great open spaces to get the brakes.
Yeah, I think it would be. But I'll bet, though, if you got a good pickup in a fast car, you could get places faster than, well, say, another person in another car.
Huh?
Well, you take me, for instance. Suppose I'm driving across the country at a nice steady clip of about 45 miles an hour. Couldn't a girl like you, just standing beside the road waiting for lifts, beat me to town after town, providing she got picked up every time in a car that was doing 65 or 70 miles an hour?
I don't know, maybe. What difference does it make?
Oh, no difference. It's just a crazy idea I had sitting here in the car.
Oh, imagine spending your time in a swell car thinking of things like that.
What would you do instead?
If it was me, I'd sit back and relax. And if I saw a good-looking guy along the side of the... Hey!
Did you see him too?
See who?
That man standing beside the barbed wire fence!
I didn't see anybody.
Right there!
It was nothing, just a barbed wire fence.
There was a man there, I tell you. I was trying to run him down.
Run him down?
I'm trying to get rid of him, or at least prove that he's real. But you say you didn't see him back there, you sure?
I didn't see a soul, and as far as that's concerned...
Well, watch for him. He'll turn up again. Maybe any minute now. There, right there!
No! How's this door work? I'm getting out of here.
Did you see him that time? Did you see him?
No, I didn't see him that time. You must be crazy.
Look, I'm sorry. I don't know what came over me. Please, don't go.
So if you'll excuse me...
Please, you can't go. Listen, how'd you like to go to California? I'll drive you all the way to California.
Hallucinating the whole way? No thanks. There, I got it now.
No, you can't go!
Let go of me, let go!
Come back here, please, come back! She ran from me, as if I was some kind of crazy person. A few minutes later, I saw a passing truck pick her up. Then I was utterly alone. I was in the heart of the Great Texas Prairies. There wasn't a car on the road after the truck went by. I tried to figure out what to do, how to get a hold of myself. If I could find a place to rest, or even if I could sleep right here in the car. Just a few hours, get some sleep, just alongside the road. I was getting my winter overcoat out of the back seat to use as a blanket. Just as a blanket.
Hello.
When I saw him coming toward me, emerging from the herd of moving steer.
Hello.
I didn't wait for him to come any closer.
Hello.
Maybe I should have spoken to him right there, because then he began to appear everywhere. Whenever I stopped, even for a minute, for gas, a cup of coffee, a sandwich, he was there. I saw him standing outside the auto camp in Amarillo that night when I dared to slow down. He was standing near the drinking fountain at a little camping spot just inside the border of New Mexico. Saw him in Albuquerque where I bought 10 gallons of gas. I was afraid now. Afraid to stop. I began to drive faster and faster, and now he didn't even wait for me to stop. Plus, I drove at 85 miles an hour over those endless roads. He waited for me at every other mile. I could see his figure, shadowless, flitting before me, still in its same altitude. Over the still and lifeless ground, flitting over dried up rivers, over broken stones, cast up by old glacial upheavals, flitting in the pure and cloudless air, I was beside myself. Beside myself. When I finally reached New Mexico this morning, I stopped at a diner and found a payphone. I had the feeling that if I could speak to somebody familiar, somebody that I loved, I could pull myself together.
Number, please.
I'd like to put in a call to my home in Brooklyn, New York. I'm Alexander Cook. The number is Beechwood 9970.
Thank you.
I'd read somewhere that love could banish demons. It was in the middle of the morning. I knew Mother'd be home. I pictured her tall, white-haired, in her crisp house dress, going about her tasks. Be enough, I thought, just to hear the calmness of her voice.
Will you please deposit $2.85 for the first 2 minutes? Ready with Brooklyn. Go ahead, please.
Hello?
Hello, Mrs. Cook Residence.
Hello, Mother.
This is Mrs. Cook Residence. Who is it you wish to speak to, please?
Who's this?
This is Mrs. Whitney.
Mrs. Whitney? Why, I don't know any Mrs. Whitney. Is this Beechwood 9970?
Yes.
Where's my mother? Where's Mrs. Cook?
Mrs. Cook is not at home. She's still in the hospital.
The hospital?
Yes. Is this a member of the family?
What's she in the hospital for?
A nervous breakdown. Who is this calling?
Nervous breakdown? My mother doesn't
have... It's all taken place since the death of her daughter, Alex.
The death of her daughter, Alex? Hey, what is this? What number is this?
This is Beechwood 9970. It's all been very sudden. She was killed 6 days ago in an automobile accident on the Brooklyn Bridge.
Your 3 minutes are up, miss. Your 3 minutes are up, miss. Your 3 minutes are up, miss. Your 3 minutes are up. Your 3 minutes are up.
And so I'm sitting in this empty diner in Deming, New Mexico. And I'm trying to think. I'm trying to get a hold of myself. Otherwise, I'll go crazy. Outside it is night. The vast, soulless night. A million stars are in the sky. Ahead of me stretch 1,000 miles of empty desert. Somewhere among them, he is waiting for me. Somewhere I shall know who he is and who I am.
Thank you. WYTR's Halloween Tales continues in a moment. But first...
Ladies, have your dinner parties gone to the dogs?
Woof, 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 woof.
Do you spend hours in the kitchen only to hear your kids say...
Ew!
When your husband sits down to dinner, does he look at his plate and declare...
I want a divorce!
Well, here's a helpful hint that may save your souffle.
Hooray!
Tomorrow, why not add some Bickles baking powder to your favorite recipes? Yes, siree, Bickles will add pop to your popovers, pizzazz to your pies, and kick to your cake. Feed your family with Bickles baking powder. Their stomachs will thank you.
Thanks, Mom!
Let's stay married!
Buy some Bickles today, available at fine retailers everywhere.
And now, WYTR's Halloween Tales continues with a classic, The Monkey's Paw.
Some disregard the tale you are about to hear. A silly ghost story, they call it. mere entertainment. But I warn you, do not so lightly dismiss this story. Rather, heed its warning. Meddle with fate and you will suffer the consequences. This tale takes place in a small New England village in the early 1900s. And like most good horror stories, it begins on a dark and stormy night.
Listen to that storm.
I'm listening. Check.
She's not gonna show. Not on a night like tonight.
Mate.
You know, of all the beastly, swampy, out-of-the-way places to live, this has got to be the worst. And to think, we still owe $200 on it. Mud roads all spring long. It's no wonder we never get any visitors.
Maybe you'll win the next one, dear.
Anything's possible.
Samantha, my darling daughter, you've been lucky, but I predict that before this night is out, your luck will run out. It's her. Remember, she's moved home because her husband's died. But don't ask about him, or their foreign service time in India.
Mom and I will do our best not to jeopardize national security.
Aye, aye.
Come in, come in, so I can close the door.
Little Johnny White, it's wonderful to see you again.
Mary, you remember my cousin, Diana Morris.
Of course, it's been too long.
The pleasure's all mine.
This is my daughter, Samantha.
Sammy.
Sammy, I've heard so much about you and your father's letters.
Come, dry off by the fire.
Sammy, your father tells me you want to be a school teacher.
That's right. I leave for my last year of school day after tomorrow.
Good for you.
Tomorrow's my last day at work. I've worked at Ma and Megan's every summer since high school. It's a stone and monument company. I carve names and dates into the tombstones.
Well, at least you have something to fall back on if you don't care for teaching.
The last piece I'm working on is the biggest monument we've ever done. Over 2 tons of stone. Scares me to death. Mr. Megan's just has me waiting to carve in the expiration date before I leave.
That's quite a task.
It feels creepy. But you must have much better stories than that. Being the wife of a diplomat in India all those years?
Oh, I've seen a thing or two in my day.
What was that you wrote me recently about? A monkey's paw or something?
Nothing.
You said you always carried it on you.
And I do.
What for?
You wouldn't believe me.
I bet I would. Every word.
Magic, then. Don't you laugh.
I'm not. Got it on you now?
Of course.
Let's see it.
Oh, it's nothing special to look at. Just an ordinary little paw, dried to a mummy. Here.
Oh! Why, it's all dried up.
I said so. But that paw has a spell upon it.
No.
Yes, by an old shaman. He was a very holy man. He'd sat all doubled up in one spot, just thinking, for 15 whole years. And he wanted to show that fate ruled people, that there was no escaping it, and that, if you tried to, you caught it hot. So he put a spell on this bit of a paw. It might have been anything, but he took the first thing that came handy. He put a spell on it so that 3 people could each have 3 wishes.
Shh, don't.
But mind you, though the wishes were granted, those 3 people would wish they hadn't.
But how were they granted?
It would all happen so natural. You might think it a coincidence.
Why haven't you tried it?
I have.
Were your wishes granted?
They were.
Has anybody else wished?
Yes, the first owner had his 3 wishes, all right. I don't know what the first 2 were, but the 3rd was for death. That's how my late husband got the paw.
Sounds like Arabian Nights.
Right you are, Mary. Give it here. I wish...
Stop it! If you must wish... Wish for something sensible. Hold it in your right hand and wish aloud. But I warn you. Look here, I can't stand this. I don't want to be here when you wish. And wish you will as soon as my back's turned. But I've warned you.
But Shirley, you just got here.
I really must go. But please, toss it in the fire.
Good night.
Good night.
I wonder...
What?
I wonder whether we hadn't better chuck it in the fire.
Why, We're all gonna be rich and famous and happy.
I don't know what to wish for, and that's a fact. With my two best girls, what more could I want?
Oh, dearest Starlina's father. If only you could pay off the mortgage on the house. You'd be in heaven, wouldn't you? Well, go ahead. Wish for $200. That'll just do it. Here, I'll play slow music.
Don't, John.
Now, Dad.
I will. I wish for $200. Ah! It moved as I wished. It clenched my palm.
Nonsense.
Well, I don't see the money, and I bet I never will.
Thank God there's no harm done.
Well, I'm off to bed. It's been quite a night, but I've got to be up bright and early for my last day of work, you know. Good night, Dad. You'll find the cash tied up in the middle of the bed.
It moved, Sammy.
And a monkey hanging by his tail from the bedpost, watching you count your pot of gold.
I wish you wouldn't joke.
All right, Dad. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
In the brightness of the next day, Mr. and Mrs. White laugh at their superstitions. By dinner, they've nearly forgotten the paw entirely.
Samantha!
She's late coming home from work, John. Must have been a big last day, but supper will get cold if she's not home soon. What's that?
Postman, of course.
John! John, suppose...
Suppose what?
Suppose it was the $200.
Nonsense.
It's thick, John, and it's got something crisp inside of it.
The idea. What a superstitious old woman you are.
Don't let sudden wealth sour your temper, John. Take care. Don't tear it.
Tear what?
If it was the banknotes, John.
Sir, enclosed, please find receipt for the interest of the mortgage of $200 still owed on your house, duly received.
How Sammy will laugh when I tell her. Remember how she teased you last night when you said the paw moved?
It did move, I swear it. What is it?
Nothing. Only a man coming up the path. John, he looks like a sort of lawyer.
So?
Oh, you only laugh, but suppose he's coming about the 200.
You're a foolish old woman.
Here he comes. Oh, John and me all untidy.
Good morning. My name is Samson.
Oh, won't you please come in?
Thank you. No, I think not.
Fine weather for the time of year.
Yes. My name is Samson. I've come.
Oh, perhaps you're here to see our Sammy. She's at work right now,
no,
but she'll be home.
No, I've come from Ma Megan's, the stoneworks.
Is anything the matter?
I was asked to call.
Samantha, has anything happened? Is she hurt?
There, there. Let the gentleman speak.
I'm sorry.
Was she hurt?
I'm afraid.
Badly?
Very badly.
John!
Is she in pain?
She's not in pain.
Oh, thank God for that thing. You mean...
She was working on her final monument, telling her friend a story. Something that had happened here last night. She was laughing and wasn't noticing as the stone slipped.
Samantha!
The company wished me to convey their sincere sympathy with you and your great loss.
Our great loss.
I was to say further. I'm only their servant. I'm only obeying orders.
Our great loss.
I was to say, the company disclaimed all responsibility. But in consideration of your daughter's loyal service, they wish to present you with this check as some small compensation.
Our great loss. How much?
$200.
No!
3 days later, the Whites bury their beloved daughter in a cemetery near their home. Their grief almost unbearable. The tombstones come from Ma and Megan's. Then a week after the funeral, Mr. White is awakened in the middle of the night by a terrible cry.
The paw! The monkey's paw!
What? What's wrong with it?
I want it! Find it! Find it!
Here it is! What do you want with it?
Why didn't I think of it? Why didn't you think of it?
Think of what?
The other two wishes. We've only had one.
Wasn't that enough?
No. We have one more now. Wish our girl alive again.
Good God, are you mad?
Take it. Take it and wish. Oh, my baby, my sweet baby.
She's been dead 10 days and, Mary, I only knew her by her clothing. The stone was so heavy. How could you bear to see her now?
I don't care. Bring her back.
Mary!
Wish!
I wish my girl alive again?
Nothing.
Thank God.
Nothing at all. Along the whole length of the road. Not a living thing. And nothing left in our lives, John.
Except each other, Mary. And memories.
We're too old. We can't feel anything now, John, but emptiness and darkness.
Won't be for long, Mary. There's that to look forward to.
Every minute is long now.
There now, there now. Go on up to bed. Go on now. I'm coming.
Whether I'm here or I'm in my bed, I'm with my Sammy. I'm with her and... What's that?
A rat. The house is full of them.
No, it's not a rat. It's my girl. It's Sammy. I forgot the cemetery's a mile away. Let go of me. I must open the door.
Mary, don't.
Let me go.
Don't open that door.
Let me go.
Think of what you might see.
Do you think I bear the child that I bore? Let me go. I'm coming, Sammy.
Don't do it. Don't do it. The paw. Where'd I set the monkey's paw?
John, the top bolt's stuck. Come and help. Quick.
The paw. There's a wish left.
Do you hear her, John? Your child's knocking!
Where is it?
Will you keep your child from her home?
I can't find it! I can't find it!
Sammy! Sammy, my girl, wait! Your mother's opening to you! It's moving! It's moving!
God forbid! Ah, the paw! There it is!
Sammy!
I wish her dead! I wish her dead and at peace!
Sammy! No one there.
That's right, love. It was just the wind. Nothing out of place.
You wished our daughter dead. You wished her back to the grave.
You wouldn't have wanted her alive like that. So mutilated. In such agony. Why didn't you wish her alive and whole?
Why didn't you with your last wish?
Oh, God. Why? Why didn't I?
It was just the wind. Nothing out of place.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are at home still clutching your sweetie for dear life, never fear! There's no need to turn that dial, as WYTR programming continues in just a few minutes with 3 solid hours of Kurt Wunderbar's Music to Polka By. But before we go, thank you for joining us today. Don't forget to visit our friends at the Fort Wayne Youth Theater as they continue their own season of theater with
The Winter Holiday Treat, Frozen Jr. in December.
The inspiring Building the Dream, MLK Jr. in February.
And the classic, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, coming in May.
This is Audrey Richards signing off for WYTR in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Thank you, and goodbye.
You've been listening to Fort Wayne Youth Theater's WYTR Halloween Tales, featuring cast members Lana Thompson, Abby Simpson, Cassandra Smith, Isabel Lugo, Alyssa Gilpin, and Landon Ritchie, directed by Christopher J. Murphy. For more information on youth theater's programming, from classes and camps to performances, visit their website at fortwayneyouththeater.org. Have a happy Halloween, and thank you for listening to WBOI Presents.